Bryce says if someone was traveling on business and found out that an immediate relative had passed away, if it's possible for him to decrease his business activity, he should do so. If not, he should only do business with the others who are traveling with him, not alone. Bryce says, Rabbi Eliezer says, the obligation to turn over the bed begins when the mace leaves the house. Rabbi Shua says it's when the tomb is sealed. Rabbi Gamliel, the elder, passed away. As soon as he left the house, Rabbi Eliezer told him to turn over the beds. As soon as the tomb was sealed, Rabbi Shua told him to turn over the beds. We already did it based on the instruction of Rabbi Eliezer. Bryce says, the beds are turned upright on Friday anytime after midnight. Rabbi Huna said, still, the oval may not sit on the upright bed until nighttime. Bryce continues, on Moshe Shabbos, the beds must be turned over again, even if Shiva will be ending Sunday morning. Bryce says, every single bed in the house has to be overturned in the house of each of the Avelim. Even beds that are not being used have to be overturned, unless it's a bed that's designated for holding Kalim. A Dargish does not need to be overturned, but rather should be stood upright. Rabbi Shimon Galil says, the loops of a Dargish should be untied and left to fall. What's a Dargish? Ula said, it's a bed that's left empty to bring good mazel. Rabbi asks, the Mishnah says that a king who becomes an oval sits on a Dargish. If Ula is correct, why would the king all of a sudden now leave an oval sit on a bed that he never used before? Ravashi said, that's not so difficult to understand. We see Avelim do things that they never did before, like they're given food now from other people, which is normally not the way it is. If a different question. If a dargish is a type of bed, why doesn't it have to be overturned? The Bryce says all beds have to be overturned. Mar says, that's not problematic, because the Bryce says that a bed is designated for Kalim doesn't have to be overturned. The dargish is also not meant for sitting on, and therefore wouldn't have to be overturned. In fact, we learned that Rishim Galil says the loops of a dargish should be untied and left to fall. If a dargish is like Ula said, it's built like any other bed, it doesn't have loops. Rav Tachlifa of Eretz Yisrael said to Rav, and a dargish is a leather bed. We find that Yimya said similarly that the sleeping surface of a dargish is attached to the frame by looping it through the holes in the frame. A regular bed is attached to the frame by tying it around the bed frame itself. Rav Achav Yaakov, the name of Rav Asi, said a two-post canopy bed can simply be stood on its side rather than having it turned upside down. It's not practical, it has those poles sticking up. A Bryce says an oval didn't turn over his bed, but instead slept on a chair or a box, even on the floor. He has not fulfilled the obligation. Rabbi Yochanan explains it means he has not fulfilled the obligation to overturn the bed. A Bryce says one may sweep and sprinkle water in the house of an oval, let it wash the dishes, but you're not allowed to bring incense or spices into the house of an oval. I, by Kapora, taught a Bryce that an oval does not make a bracha on the besomer incense. This suggests that it is brought to the home, but no bracha is made. Mar says the first Bryce is discussing a room where only the oval is sitting. Second Bryce is discussing a room where the consoler sit as well. Others say the first, that where you are allowed to bring it is where the mace itself is there. You're removing the bad smell. Where you're not allowed to bring it in is where it's just to add a good smell to a house, not trying to remove the bad smell of the mace. The mace is not there. That would not be allowed. Zok the Mishnah, one should not send food to an Avela's house on a tray or in a fancy bowl or basket. Rather, a plain basket should be used. The Birkas Avelim is not sent a Chalamoit. However, the consolers do set up roads for the mourners to pass through after the burial, after which time the people are dismissed to go home. We also do not put the coffin down in the street on Chalamoit so as to encourage us bathe them, which should not be done on Chalamoit. We never put down the coffin of women in the street out of respect for the women. Bryce says initially wealthy Avelim were brought foods and baskets of gold and silver. Poor Avelim were brought wicker baskets. This embarrassed the poor and caused the Rabbanan to institute that only wicker baskets should be used altogether. Bryce says initially the wealthy Avelim would be given to drink expensive glasses. The poor were given to drink cheaper glasses. This embarrassed the poor, and again it caused the Rabbanan to institute that only cheaper glasses should be used. Initially, the faces of the wealthy who had died were left uncovered. The faces of the poor were covered because they were blackened from hunger. This embarrassed the poor. The Rabbanan again instituted that it should be done. The faces should be covered for all mason. Initially, they would carry out the wealthy on a dargish and the poor on an ordinary bed used for the dead. This embarrassed again the poor people, and the Rabbanan therefore instituted that everyone should be carried out on regular beds. Initially, they would burn the incense under the people who had died from stomach disorders to mask the smell. This caused the people who were dying from these disorders but still alive to become very embarrassed. Rabban instituted that incense should be used underneath all nasim. Initially, they would toil with the kalim of women who died while they were needless. This caused the women who were needless who were still alive to be embarrassed. Rabban therefore instituted the kalim of all women should be toiled after their death. Initially, they would toil with the kalim of zavim who died while they were zavim. This caused all the zavim who were still alive to be embarrassed. Rabban therefore instituted that the kalim of all people must be toiled after their death. Initially, the expense of burying the dead was worse for the family than the actual loss of life. This led to the people just leaving the dead there and running away so they shouldn't have to pay the expense. Rabban Gamliel had himself buried in linen clothing, which was very cheap, to show that elaborate clothing is not needed. This led all people to be buried in simple canvas clothing, and thereby decreasing the cost of the burial. Rav Papa said, today, people are even buried in very cheap canvas clothing. The Mishnah said, Rav Papa said, there's no restriction on Chalamoid. when we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham who has passed away, and clearly there will be no restriction on Chanukah and Purim. However, this is only permitted in front of the mace. We found Rav Kahana gave a hesped for Rav Zvid and Chalamoid, not in his presence. Or it says Rav Papi said that was the day that they heard of that he died, and it's therefore it has a status of it being in the mace's presence. Ula said the word hesped is used in the pasuk refers to beating on the chest. The word tepuach refers to clapping of the hands. Kilos refers to stamping of the feet. The Bryce says someone who stamps his feet should only do so wearing shoes, not sandals, because doing with a sandal can be dangerous. Rabbi Yechanan said once an Avol nods his head, this indicates he has been consoled, and no one should console him anymore, they should leave. Rabbi Yechanan said that all are required to stand for a Nasi except for an Avol and a sick person. Rabbi Yechanan said all may not sit after standing for a Nasi until they're told to do so, except for an Avol and a sick person. We don't say shoiv because it looks like you're telling him stay in your bad matziv, so rather we tell him something else. We hear the name of Rav learn from a pasuk in Yecheskel that an Avol may not eat from his own food on the first day of Avelis. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef would trade meals when one of them was an Avol. We hear the name of Rav said if there's a mace in the city, no one's allowed to work. We see from the story that Rav Hamnuna allowed the people of the city to do work when the mace belonged to a different Chaver Kadisha, and therefore they were not really their responsibility to bury him. We hear the name of Rav said if someone cries excessively over a mace, he'll ultimately have to cry over another mace. We see this happen to a woman who cried excessively for her son and ultimately buried 7 sons, and then she herself died. We learn from a pasuk that one is not to mourn excessively. The proper way is to cry for 3 days, eulogize for 7, and not to launder or take haircuts for 30 days. Beyond that time, Hashem says, you don't have more rachmanis than me, and therefore it's improper to mourn further. Rabbi Yehuda dashed in the pasuk to mean that one may cry for one who dies without, even a lot, for one who dies without children. Rabbi Shimon Levi would not stop his Torah learning to go to visit any ovel, except when the mace had died without children. Rabbi Yehuda dashed in the pasuk to mean that one who does an aveir and repeats it will never do tshuva. This is because the repetition of the aveir makes it seem permissible to him, and therefore it makes it unlikely he'll do tshuva. Levi said, an ovel during the first 3 days should view himself as if a sword is hanging between his shoulders. From days 3 to 7, he should view himself as if the sword is at the ready to strike from a nearby corner. You know, not as dangerous as it was the previous days, but still dangerous. After that time, until 12 months have passed, he should view it as if the sword is passing by him in the marketplace.